Please listen carefully.
Well, hello there, folks. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Heard It Here Sports Podcast, or potentially you're following along on YouTube on the Heard It Here NBA show. Got some exciting stuff, as always. We're here to talk basketball, talking some NBA draft prospects. Following up on an episode I did a couple of weeks ago, going over some of the early entrants in the transfer portal. At this point, the season has ended for all but the four Final Four teams, so the vast majority of eligible candidates that are entering the transfer portal have now entered. There are certainly some big-name guys, both as upperclassmen that are quite proven and maybe looking to take a step up in competition, as well as some younger, unproven guys that didn't really get a chance to shine and are looking for the opportunity to prove themselves elsewhere. We'll go ahead and jump right into things. The first guy on my list of exciting transfers that I think could potentially be NBA prospects, whether it be in 2024, or 2025, or even further down the line. The first guy on this list is Jalen Cook, a point guard out of Tulane. He is a 6-foot point guard, about 200 pounds. He's a relatively strong guy despite his height. Played 1 year at LSU, then transferred and has played his last 2 years at Tulane. So he is a junior, which I know some people don't like, although he just turned 21. About a week ago. I don't think it's as big a concern for me personally, as long as you're showing consistent, real growth in your game. Jalen Cook did not necessarily see a huge jump in his stats over the past year, but I think you saw him take on a larger role within the team. He was clearly the leader of this team that, you know, has some other talented guys, and Jalen Forbes and Sion James. So they've got some talent on this Tulane team. He was nearly a 20-point-per-game scorer, nearly 5 assists a game, 1.8 steals, which is always a good sign of just being more athletic than the guys around you, as well as having good instincts, good hands. Jalen Cook is, I think, a very high-level athlete. I think he's, you know, an above-average athlete at the point guard position in D1. I would even say at high major schools he's going to look like a pretty impressive athlete compared to his competition. He is a well-built all-around point guard for the modern NBA, I would even say. The thing you have to keep coming back to with him, unfortunately, is the height. There's just very few. There are not many 6-foot tall NBA players these days. However, if you are going to be 6-foot tall and play in the NBA, you have to be a point guard, and not just like a point guard in name, but a true point guard. Jalen Cook is a true point guard. He can lead your offense. He can facilitate. I actually have been very impressed with his ability to keep his dribble alive, driving to the paint, getting inside, and either finishing with his floater, which has been a very effective weapon this year. He's actually 50% on 96 attempts from runner or floater range this year, which is very impressive. He flashes great touch on those shots. Good finisher at the rim on layups as well. Not necessarily getting up for dunks, but again, you don't necessarily expect that from him. His vertical athleticism is not necessarily that impressive, but he is a shifty athlete, and his strides are somewhat impressive, I would say, for a 6-foot guy. He doesn't move laterally like he's a 6-foot guy. He's not one of these, like, quote-unquote jitterbug guys. He's a little bit more of a smooth, a guy that's got, you know, wiggle for sure, but a little bit more, you know, a smooth sort of get in position, get you off your game, or get you on your wrong foot, you know. He seems like a good fluid athlete, which is always something that I look for. I think that is that's a form of athleticism that translates a lot more to the defensive side of the ball, as opposed to just pure run and jump athleticism, which may appear impressive, you know, on transition dunks, but is a little bit tougher when you're trying to get down and really rotate on defense. Jalen Cook is an impressive overall shooter, I would say. He shoots at high volume. He's got 314 total three-point attempts over the course of his three-year career, and he shoots 37% on those. He was slightly down this year, but was taking, again, his first year at LSU didn't play very much, but he's taking over 6 a game this past year, 6 threes a game, shooting 35%, but that's not a bad percentage when you're shooting at that level of volume. That level of volume is not something that many many prospects replicate. Not if you're, you know, you have to have a lot of trust from your coach to even attempt six threes a game and not get pulled after the fifth one. So I think Cook is somebody, and again, he flashes great touch around the rim. The floater is something that I'm very impressed by, especially, again, his ability to sort of get space inside of the arc. That's clearly not going to be there nearly as much in the NBA, which, you know, the athletes just scale up to another exponential amount once you get to the NBA. The space that you get is even more limited. But I do think he has really good touch and will be creative enough to figure out how to get to open spots. And again, he is somebody that I think has good self-creation ability. I think the modern point guard generally needs to be somebody that is looking for his own bucket first, usually playing off of that dichotomy of I can either drive and score or dish, or I can pull up and score over you, which already that's causing the defense to make a decision of am I playing the drive or am I playing the shot. But he's also a guy that if he gets in the paint, he's great at distributing. He can distribute from the outside. He is a complete point guard. I think he's going to be, he has an impressive dribble. He can go both ways with the dribble. He can handle with his left, with his right hand. I think he'll be a good, solid pick and roll facilitator. I think he has all the tools that you want from a modern NBA point guard. Again, the biggest question is going to be whether his height is a true impediment. But this is not the same as Marquise Noel, who is more like 5'7". Jalen Cook is 6 foot tall. When you see him on the court, I don't think you have the same reaction as some of these other guys that we think of as being tiny point guards. However, it is a disadvantage, and it's just going to be something that exists, and he will have to overcome. Again, though, 200 pounds. I think he's got a solid frame. I think he's pretty strong. Well, Jalen Cook has already entered the transfer portal for this coming year. I would expect him to transfer to a Power 5 school, a high major. LSU clearly didn't work out, but I don't think that was due to his level of talent. I think he just wanted a chance to go be a starting point guard somewhere. He's had his 2 years at Tulane to do so. He is entering the draft this year, so it is possible that he stays in if he has a great showing at the combine or if a NBA team just really has fallen in love with him. But more than likely, he'll return, transfer to a high major school, maybe somewhere in the Big 12, since he is a Louisiana native, you know, Big 12 SEC area, would make the most sense. That's sort of what you would intuit. Then next year, the 2024 draft, I think he will be a second round pick. I'm a big believer in Jalen Cook. I really like how his game translates to the modern NBA, despite being 6 foot. Compare his game to someone like Jalen Pickett, who I also appreciate. I like Jalen Pickett. I think he's probably deserving of a second round pick this year, maybe even, you know, one in the 30s. So an early second round, potentially. But Jalen Pickett's, the ways that he succeeds are not the ways that your prototypical NBA point guard succeeds. Jalen Cook succeeds in the ways you want your point guard to succeed in the NBA. He gets shots off the dribble, he gets to the paint, can create his own shot, can finish well, does pretty well with contact, really good at facilitating. Again, he's the Damian Lillard prototype is the one I have in my mind, because Damian Lillard is a score-first point guard, but he is still a point guard. He is still running your pick and rolls, he's setting your guys up. Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry is phenomenal at shooting off the ball. That's what makes him, that's what defines him, right? That's why that's how he's changed the game. But if you give him the ball and have him run pick and roll, he'll find your guys in the corner. He will run efficient offense through a traditional pick and roll system. Jalen Cook can do that as well. I think he's got a real chance of being a solid, reliable backup point guard in the NBA for years to come. I think about somebody like Mike Miles, who is projected to potentially even be a late first in this upcoming draft. I think Mike Miles deserves that. I think Jalen Cook is closer to emulating Mike Miles than we might realize. Again, height difference there, but Mike Miles is only like 6'2", 6'3". This is not... Jalen Cook is, again, he's not Muggsy Bogues, right? He's not 5'3". And he's also not 170 pounds. Like, he's probably got 30 pounds on Turquavion Smith. Who, again, is 6'4", but he's super skinny. That's a thing that he's going to have to deal with. And Jalen Cook is not skinny. Comparisons are something that I think we really struggle with in general in the draft community. And I personally, you know, I want to be very specific, and yet it's just very difficult to you can't give 10 different comparisons for all the different possibilities, right? But at the same time, like, one of the things I think is sort of lost in the weeds sometimes is that the trajectory of a player's career is so dependent on what team they go to, who their teammates are, who the coaches are, mental things with these players, not in terms of them having problems. I think anybody that's succeeding at the D1 level is probably got a really good head on their shoulders, and probably a pretty impressive, you know, physical skills as well. But like, the people underrate how mentally taxing it is to be a D1 athlete, let alone a D1 basketball player at a high level school like that, because then you're also bringing in not just the stress, the everyday work and the amount of time and commitment you're putting in, but you're also putting in the social media pressure, the pressure from the public, the pressure to perform on a large stage. I think that sort of thing is really underrated sometimes. And I think just assigning a comparison to someone, you have to really, really try to contextualize it. You have to look at the specific things that you think are similar. And I think just saying, hey, this is what I compare you to is not fair. You should try to say, hey, this is what I think is a reasonable outcome. Hey, here's what I think is like a high level outcome. So that's what I tried to do, right? I tried to provide one expected comp, or what, you know, would be a reasonable outcome, maybe a 40th to 50th percentile outcome if Jalen, or you know, any given player, develops on a normal track, is not one of these super hard workers or somebody that just really is an incredible learner, really fast-paced learner. I don't know Jalen Cook, so it's entirely possible he's going to be on this accelerated curve. I just don't know, so I think it makes the most sense to provide two different comparisons. One that's a little more realistic. One that, again, if they are one of these accelerated personalities and or they get put in the right situation, this is where things could go if things really break right. So the expected comparison I have for Jalen Cook is Tremont Waters. Trey Waters, he was actually an LSU point guard, currently playing with Victor Wembanyama. I would say that Cook is not quite the athlete that Trey is. Trey's a very, he had a lot of burst in his game. But he was a solid 5'11". He was probably an inch, maybe two or even three shorter than Jalen Cook, and skinnier as well. And the one thing I'll say with Jalen Cook is I think he's a more calm, confident distributor. I think he's better at handling pressure in the paint. I don't think Tremont was ever quite as good at getting into the paint and sort of settling himself. And he just wasn't as big and strong as Jalen Cook, which is funny to say about a 6-foot guy, but I mean, 6 foot, 205 pounds is still, like, that's a stocky dude. And I think that's where Cook really differentiates himself there. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Waters was, like, he's a fringe NBA guy who's had clearly, like, high-level success in Europe. And I think Jalen Cook, yeah, I would, on a normal progression curve, I would expect him to be a high-level player in high-level leagues in Europe. You know, the French top league, maybe the ACB in Spain, Germany's top league. You know, I think he'd probably be a solid NBL player because I think he'd handle their physicality well and the pace. So I think, you know, Tremont Waters is a phenomenal basketball player, has had some awesome shots. He's making a lot of money. It's certainly not an insult. And I think that's one thing that people always forget is that even somebody who is a borderline NBA player, it's still had a phenomenal career and has put in so much work and effort and dedication to get to that point. It's just that the margins are so thin at the top and there are some things that are out of your control. But let's say that some of these things do break right. Let's say that Jalen Cook really does become like a 45% three-point shooter and maybe he adds a little bit of burst, maybe even grows an inch or two. Maybe he has like a super late growth spurt or something. Probably not, right? But, you know, it's not like he needs that. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall. His accelerated comparison, you know, if he gets on a real impressive growth track, I think he could be Jalen Brunson or emulate that play style. Jalen Brunson, this is the year that it's getting really hard to compare players to him because he seems to have been somebody who is on his own accelerated growth path. But he's a guy that came out of college, I think, as a junior, maybe a senior, definitely an upperclassman. He was an early second round pick. Did not play a ton early on, or did not get thrust into a huge role early on. Had sort of a breakout season last year with the Mavs, and then this year with New York has established himself as like a real like borderline All-NBA candidate and certainly an All-Star. One of the things I think Jalen Brunson has that Jalen Cook, again, I see the beginning of it, is the how comfortable Jalen Brunson is with a live dribble getting to the paint inside the arc. Jalen Brunson's really good at when he's inside the arc, he's still looking up, holding his dribble. No one's going to pick him because he still knows where the ball is and everything, but he knows how to get to his spots. He knows where his teammates' spots are and when he can try to find them. It's such a huge advantage if you can facilitate off of a live dribble, off of pick and roll, as opposed to having to stop, observe, and then make a pass. Your passing angles are so much more difficult in that case. The windows are obviously going to be a lot smaller, and you're not putting any pressure on the defense yourself by driving or creating a threat to score, other than if you were just going to pull up and shoot, which obviously that is a threat in of itself. That's it for Jalen Cook. We'll go ahead and move on to the next guy on my list who I have fewer notes on because he barely played this last year at Kansas. And that is MJ Rice. MJ Rice is a 6'5", 215-pound shooting guard. 247 actually listed him as a small forward. I think he played more forward growing up. He played at Durham High School as a freshman and sophomore, which I did pull his stats from that season because, again, he had a total of, I think, 174 total minutes this season for Kansas. But he played at Durham High, so I think he grew up as more of, you know, the tall man on the team, as more of a forward type who was a interior scorer and rebounder. Actually, again, his Durham High, his freshman and sophomore year stats, he put up 17 points a game, 1.7 assists to 8.1 rebounds. So you see how clear the rebounds to assists slants towards the rebounds, which indicates almost even more of like a power forward. So that's kind of interesting. He did transfer to Oak Hill and then to Prolific Prep. So he ended his career at Prolific Prep. Ended up being the 32nd ranked freshman in this past class. So again, he was part of the 2022 class. So a guy with very high pedigree coming in. Him and Grady Dick were the two big-time prospects for Kansas this year. And obviously, Grady Dick had more of a ready-made game, whereas MJ Rice, I would say, is quite raw. I will say, though, the way that he's raw is a way that I kind of like. He's somebody that seems just very comfortable in open space, but struggles when he gets into tighter spaces, which to me sort of implies that he's a guy that grew up playing one-on-ones or threes or whatever. He's just somebody that's not used to the traffic that a 5-on-5 game provides. I mean, it's insane when you have 10 people in that small of an area. I mean, it feels like a massive area at times when you're on the court trying to play defense, but, you know, it is really tough to beat five defenders in that, whatever it is, 28-foot arc, 25-foot radius. But, you know, MJ Rice, I think he's just going to have to get a lot more comfortable. Again, in tight spaces, he's going to have to develop the role player skills. I don't think that's something that he necessarily has. And I would say that would maybe be, you know, the biggest concern would be just, can he fit into more of a role player role? I will say he's an awesome athlete. And he definitely he's got like Hooper energy. I watched some of his high school tape. He just, again, like if he's in transition, like he's getting a bucket on you. It's just that he's clearly not super comfortable with half court sets and playing in super tight windows. I think he's a long, pretty smooth athlete. He actually kind of reminds me of Hamadou Diallo as an athlete. Pretty springy, just smooth, athletic. Not gonna like totally blow you away or throw down the most ferocious dunks in the world, but like is gonna get up there and make all the plays that need to be made. So, quickly to recap, again, this season he played a total of 174 minutes for a pretty stacked Kansas team that was a number one seed in the tournament, so it's hard to argue with them too much, but he had a total of 49 field goals. On those, it was interesting to see the spread, 17 of 34 on twos, 3 of 15 on threes, 8 of 12 from the free throw line, so I like that he's taken, you know, the ratio of twos to threes is about 2-1, so he's capable of getting inside and scoring, which I like, but he also is comfortable taking the three. I also like that, again, 34 two-point attempts, and he drew fouls on six of them, or he had 12 free throw attempts. Maybe there was an and one in there somewhere, but that's like a pretty solid number. Again, it's very small sample size, which is why I wanted to pull in his high school stats. The one, you know, high school stats, they're kind of iffy. He was a below 70% free throw shooter, though. He was 34 of 91 on his threes, however. And again, this is his freshman and sophomore year of high school. Hard to take too much away from that. But just trying to find something that could be like an indicator of shooting touch outside of 3 of 15 on 3. So 34 of 91, I mean, that's like 37%, not an insignificant volume of shots. So that's certainly a good indicator for somebody that I will say, when I just watched some of his clips, I didn't necessarily see the most pure shooter in the world. I am pretty interested to see where he goes from here. I'm not entirely sure what kind of role he's looking for. I think that'd be very interesting to learn. You know, is he going somewhere where he can get more on-ball scoring reps? Is he just looking for, again, more playing time? Or is it specifically playing time combined with the field goal attempts, or play time combined with the on-ball reps? It's hard to imagine that he's going to transfer to like Duke, right? I mean, if he didn't like Kansas, he's probably going to go to, you would imagine, not another blue blood. You could see him maybe doing what Jalen Cook did and going down to Tulane for a year, or a similar level of school. You know, Santa Clara has kind of established this reputation of taking in guys around his height, and now they've produced two in a row in terms of Jalen Williams and Brandon Pajemski of, you know, legit NBA players that have come out of their school. And they're not necessarily a high-level program. So interesting to see what comes down the line for MJ Rice. I don't know what his future looks like as a professional. He certainly has a ways to go before he gets there, you know, as opposed to Jalen Cook, who's a lot more confident that he's a professional. Fringe NBA, yes, but professional, absolutely, undoubtedly. MJ is going to have to work on some stuff. He's going to, again, have to brush up on those role player skills. But he's clearly got the athleticism to do it, and he shows enough skill. I say he flashes plenty of skill in transition and in the few open space opportunities he gets, that I would like to see how his development track goes. Because if he gets on a more accelerated track, I think he could really, really succeed. That's about all I have on MJ. I don't have any comparisons for him, just because, again, he's got so little tape at the college level. I'd really just want to mention him as somebody to really keep an eye on for next year. We're just going to have to see what sort of situation he ends up in, what he puts on tape. With that being said, I'll move on to the third and final player on this list, Brandon Murray, transferring out of Georgetown. He actually played 1 year at LSU and then 1 year, his sophomore year last year, at Georgetown. He actually started all but one game at LSU and started all his games at Georgetown, so it wasn't like he wasn't getting any minutes at LSU. Kind of curious why he transferred. I'm not sure. I'm sure there was some reason behind him. Just would be interested to know what it was, just out of my own curiosity. He played at IMG and was actually the 82nd prospect in 82nd ranked prospect in the sophomore class, so the 2021 class. So not a guy that's necessarily on NBA radars these days. Not someone you see on boards, but was a high pedigree guy coming out of high school, and has started 2 years at, you know, Georgetown. Obviously had a miserable year. I think they had like two wins in the entire Big East. It was embarrassing, to be completely frank. But Brandon Murray, I thought, was pretty impressive in the games that I saw. He's a 6'5", 200-pound shooting guard. So funny, thinking back to Jalen Cook, Brandon Murray is like a pretty solid, he's pretty solidly built, like pretty strong. Jalen Cook is like the same weight as him, despite being 5 inches shorter. So I think that just says something about how strong Jalen Cook is. Brandon Murray, he's a shooting guard. He is not a combo guard in the slightest. He actually reminds me a little bit of Amari Bailey. They're both like sturdy built athletes. I think Bailey's definitely got a bigger frame and is just, you know, slightly more athletic in the like track and field ways. Great leaping ability from both of them. Pretty twitchy. The biggest limitation that you instantly see for them on offense is their dribbling. Amari Bailey can only dribble with his left hand. Brandon Murray is the same way, just flipped. He can only anytime he's driving to his right, you should be scared. If he's driving to his left, he's taking one dribble and pulling up or just passing. He's not going to drive to his left. I do like his general scoring game. He seems like he's got pretty good touch. The one really another glaring thing about his game is his three-point jump shot. It looks like he watched a bunch of Michael Jordan. It's like the classic 90s mid-range pull-up jump shot. He brings it really high over his head. He's trying to get like the unblockable, release it at the very apex of your jump shot, which is super effective in the mid-range. You know, when he pulls up from mid-range, it's unblockable. He's got a really nice little, like, he can even just like stop and like pull up and slightly fade back and get some space. It's pretty nice looking. It just does not look very nice as a catch and shoot 3-point shot. It's really not what you would describe as like a soft ball. He definitely just sort of chucks it up. That's not fair to say. He's putting plenty of spin on it, but like, I think the thing with a soft shot, quote unquote, like Steph Curry's or whoever's, is there's more spots and angles on the rim that you could potentially hit and still have the shot go in. Whereas a shot like Brandon Murray's that is just, you know, it's just this hard ball. I don't really know how to describe it. I need to find better vernacular for it. But I think there are just, unless you hit the perfect spot on the back of the rim for it to just drop in, there's a lot less leeway in that with a shot like his. I do wonder, because I think he's got good touch, if he could work on more of a set shot from the perimeter. I think that would, you know, help him speed it up as well, because he's like a solid catch and shoot jump shooter. He's not bad. He's a career 33% on 3-point shooting, 66% from the line in his career. But I mean, I don't know. I think he's got solid touch. He's 19 of 40 on his runners for the year. He's just, you know, he's going to have a more reliable set shot from the perimeter. He's also just slightly inefficient from most spots on the floor. Again, 40% overall from the floor, 66% from free throw, 33% from three. Actually, for being the type of vertical athlete he is, it's kind of surprising. He only had one dunk on the year. Although, if it is the one that I think it is, which I watched the video before this, and it actually looked like it was called a charge, so I'm not sure now. But there was one that I tweeted out earlier today that was his dunk on Villanova. That was, I mean, it was phenomenal. It was like one of the... It was incredible airtime. He posterized somebody. Super impressive athletic play. So I really do think Brandon Murray's got a real athletic package. And I think his scoring game is burgeoning, I would say. He can really get downhill to his right if he gets sort of a head of steam. You know, he can finish through some contact, although, again, his it gets a little bit scrambling. He's kind of throwing stuff up, but, like, he can get balance. It may not always translate to the upper half looking super smooth, but like he can usually get balance on his lower half because he's got pretty good strength and, again, just pretty good footwork. The biggest other thing, again, he's definitely a two guard. He's not a combo guard. He's not a point guard at all. If anything, you know, he's a wing is how I would describe him, and he's a decent shooter. I think he's probably solid on defense. I'd need to watch more of his defense, to be honest. That's one. I need to work on how I evaluate defense, period, but I just need to watch more clips of him. But I think I would like him a lot more if he could run a little bit of pick and roll. If his dribbling was a little bit more natural, versatile, something that I thought was a little bit more of a weapon. He makes good passes on the perimeter. I actually think he's got good, maybe even really good vision. It's just really difficult, I think, if you cannot pass off the dribble. If you can't drive to the rim, planning to score, and then see a pass and make that pass, it's really tough to be a good facilitator. That's what Jalen Cook does, right? He drives to the rim with the intent to score, but keeps open the option that he may pass it if he sees a better opportunity. Brandon Murray can't quite do that. If he's going to drive, he's driving to get a shot at the rim, or he's driving to get a jump shot at the elbow or something. Like, that's what he's doing. He is not making a lot of quick, short window decisions. I think that's going to be the main limiter on him. Again, he's kind of like MJ Rice. He's just going to have to learn these role player skills a little bit more to succeed as an NBA player, because I think both of them are solid athletes. They've got, you know, they've got what you need from a physical perspective to be an NBA wing. For both of them, I think a lot of it's going to come down to the jump shot. Brandon Murray, again, I do like his passing vision. I think he's another one, kind of like MJ Rice, where his transition game is probably going to be phenomenal. It's just, can you survive in the half court as well? So I'm not totally sure about that with Brandon Murray, but he'll have another year to try to prove that. Again, he'll be a junior after his next year, potentially entering the 2024 draft, which I don't think is that big of a deal anymore. I think if you're 24 years old or 25 years old, that's a pretty big deal. But if you're 21, I think people are starting to catch up to the fact that like a 21-year-old basketball player is still a baby. You're still an infant. Like, that is still absolutely nothing in terms of, like, the light can just switch on when you're age 21. That can still happen. Age 26, it's probably not going to happen, right? 21, like, that's totally still there. So I think Brandon Murray's got a real chance to turn himself into, again, a legit professional basketball player and maybe even somebody that can play in the NBA. As far as what's next for Brandon Murray, I would probably like to see him transfer to a high-level competitive school, even somewhere like Houston, where Houston is tough. Houston, if you can't make it, you're not going to play. But I think if Brandon Murray goes to Houston, he's going to have the chance to develop, not just, again, Houston is known for, oh, they work so hard, their defense, their intensity, all that. Their guards are also really impressive. Like, they run good offense. I think Brandon Murray would have to really develop his role player skills to make an impact at Houston or a school like that. You know, Kansas is UCLA, one of these options, right? If he can go there and succeed and really look good, I think then he gets himself more in the conversation where like Wooga Poplar is, right? I think Wooga Poplar on Georgetown gets no hype, but he's on a really good team playing off of a guy like Isaiah Wong and Jordan Miller and Nigel Pack, who are more the stars and Wooga is more of a role player, and he does role player stuff, and that's really impressive. So can Brandon Murray do that? Not sure. If you want to prove that you can do it, go to UCLA, go to Kansas, go to Bama, go to one of those schools. That's going to be the way to do it. And you know, he's got the athleticism and I would say the nascent shooting / touch ability to be a borderline first round pick next year. More than likely, I would expect him to be more like a two-way guy on the normal progression path. But as for, you know, I don't have like a great expected comparison for him. Again, I think at this point, he still has to add things to his game to be a surefire professional. It's a lot more potential than a guy like Jalen Cook. However, I do think if he gets on one of these accelerated comparison, you know, timelines, a guy like Devin Vassell is not totally out of the question. Where Vassell, the reason he went 11th instead of, you know, being a borderline first, like I'm saying Brandon Murray might be, is because people started to see him as a guy with like real legit self-creation ability. Whereas Murray already kind of has that. The worry for him is more building on the role player skills that Vassell already had. It's why he played at Florida State early on and got a chance to start taking those mid-range pull-up shots. So that's a very high-level outcome. He would have to really, really develop as a defender. He would have to develop his handle a lot. And his shot is just going to have to become a lot better because to become Devin Vassell, in terms of being a role player with potential, you have to first be able to be a role player that can be trusted in your role. Then you get to build on that potential. So that's I have faith in Brandon Murray. I really want to see him put it together. And if he does, I think he's a guy that could like really make an impact in the NBA. As a rotation player, not as an all-star, but I think he could really be a decent NBA scorer. And at 6'5 with his athleticism, that's no joke. So yeah, Brandon Murray, Jalen Cook, MJ Rice, three big-time transfers that have entered the transfer portal this year that could all potentially go in the 2024 NBA draft. We'll have to wait and see. We're only about 2.5 months away at this point. Draft is always inching closer. It always is further and yet sooner than it appears. Regardless, that's enough of me blathering. I appreciate y'all tuning in. I'm trying to get to a more regular schedule, especially as we get closer to the NBA draft. You know, I like this transfer stuff. Going to do some more scouting of actual prospects in this year's draft. But, yeah, appreciate y'all tuning in. Take it easy. Peace, y'all.